We are glad to present your speaker, Ray Weddington.
If I asked a question this morning, and I asked you, how strong is your faith? I want you to think on that, and think on it during the lesson this morning. And each of us needs to be thinking on that each and every day. How strong is your faith? We might say in answer to this, well, I believe in God. I believe in God. Well, James tells us that the devils also believe, and they tremble. Belief is not enough. The devils tremble. They tremble. Do we tremble at our belief in Jehovah God? We say we believe Him. We say we believe in Him. We believe in His Word. But do we have that amount of awe and wonder as we consider His power and His grandeur and the majesty of Jehovah God? Even the devils do. They tremble at the fact and the knowledge of Jehovah God and what all He can do, and that He will do what He says He will do. Do we believe His Word? Do we believe that God will do what He says He will do? Do we believe His promises? Does it motivate us to read and to study God's Word each and every day? Or sadly, do we just pick up the Bible on Sunday mornings and bring it to church with us? And sometimes we don't even open it then. Do we believe God? Do we have faith in Him? Do we have faith in His words? Do we believe that we're going to be judged by His word? Do we really believe? The fine, grand chapter on faith is the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We'll briefly look through that this morning. Look at some examples along the way. Look how faith sustained these individuals. And hopefully gain a little knowledge of how that faith needs to be manifest in our life each and every day that we live. The author starts out by saying in the 11th chapter in verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the very substance of things hoped for. This word means literally the very foundation. It is what we build our hopes, our beliefs, and our knowledge of God on. That is His faith. Through our faith, we believe in God. We believe that He exists. Through our faith, we believe that we have the inspired Word of God. And we believe that every word of this is true. This is what we base our life on. And whether we have a strong faith that will not waver when we weather the storms of this life, it will sustain us and it will carry us through. Or whether we have a very weak faith, and when we run into trials and temptations and adversities in this life, then we will fall. That faith, a weak faith, will not sustain us. It will let us down. We, as evidenced by our lives that we live each and every day, we show forth the degree of faith that we have in Jehovah God. How we are sustained. The faith in He and His Word is our foundation, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2 tells it that for by it, that is faith, the elders obtained a good report. Those grand old men of old that we read about in the Old Testament, they were commended by God for the lives that they led based on the faith that they had in He and His Word. They believed in God. And we'll look at some examples. They believed in what God said unto them. And they acted upon that belief. Believing is just not enough. We have to show that we do believe by our actions and by the life that we live. Verse 3 tells us that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We believe in the creation, that God spoke the world into existence, of the universe, and everything therein on it. We believe that because we believe in God. We believe that He could do this and that He did do it. Not like some evolutionists who believe that some single cell crawled out of the ocean and slowly up on millions of years evolved into mankind as we know it. No, we believe in God. We believe in His Word. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. This is the essence of our belief. We believe that God can do that, and that God can do all things, and that He means everything that He says. We read of some examples here of faith. Verse 4 tells us of Abel, how that he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and that he obtained a good witness because of this. It is faith and his belief in God that God wanted a sacrifice to be offered unto him that would be acceptable unto him, and Abel did this because of his belief in Jehovah God. We read in verse 5 of the faith of Enoch, how that Enoch did not see death. He was translated so that he should not see death. And that it said of him that he had a testimony that pleased God. His life was so in conjunction with God's Word that God granted him that rare privilege that he would not taste of death. He was a man who believed in God, and he lived his life that way. And he was pleasing before God. Verse 6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do we want to be pleasing in God's sight? We start with our faith in Him. And that's not a weak faith either. That's a strong conviction faith that's not going to be wavered or moved aside. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. If we want to be acceptable to God, we first start by saying, we believe in Jehovah God. We believe that He is. It's not just some fairy tale like the world would have us to believe. No, God is real. He exists. He spoke the world into creation. And we are instruments to be used in service unto Him. Must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We want to believe that as well, that God will reward us. But we would say that He rewards those that diligently seek Him. Not those that believe in Him. Even the devils believe. But those that diligently seek Him. And how do we diligently seek God? We read and study His Word. We find out what His will is, and we place that will in our lives each and every day that we live. We make it our life's goal that our lives are to be pleasing in God's sight, that we want to obey Him. Why? Because we have faith in God. We believe in Him, and we believe His Word. We believe that He will reward those who diligently and faithfully seek Him each and every day that they live, who do His will. But we also believe just as well that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, that He will carry out His promises as well unto those who have been disobedient and have not obeyed His will. We believe in God that He would reward those that diligently, earnestly seek Him. Verse 7 gives us the example of Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he commended the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah, living on dry land, being warned of God of things is not yet seen, that a flood was going to come. People didn't know what that was. God told Noah, it's going to happen. You build an ark. He gave him specific size, specific materials to be used. Noah said, yes. Why? He was moved with fear. He knew God could do what God said He could do. If God said it was going to come an awful amount of rain, and it was going to flood, and it was going to, the world and the things therein were going to perish, Noah believed that. And he went right to work building that ark. And he proved his faith by his works. Verse 8 gives us the example of Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went. Abraham lived in Ur of Chaldee, And he was called out from that place by Jehovah God, saying that you must come over here into the promised land. Abraham left off. He left his friends. He took what family he had with him. And he moved on. And he followed after God's word. That took a lot of faith. That would take a lot of faith on our part today. To leave all. To turn our back on our friends and our brothers and sisters in Christ. And say, I'm going to move out from here and to here. If God wants me to do this, though, I will do it. That's why I have such respect for missionaries who's able to have that degree of faith that God will sustain them, that He will use the other congregations to help support them as they go into lands where the gospel has not been heard. I have tremendous amount of respect for Brother Pledge and what all he has done, how that he left this comfortable atmosphere here in the Bible Belt and going out there where he's facing adversity and hard times, where the word is not easily accepted. That takes a lot of courage. And it takes a lot of faith. And they demonstrate it. Just as Abraham did when he was called out of his comfortable surroundings to go into this strange land. He went out not knowing whither he went. He had never been to this area. He had never heard of this area. But God told him to go. And he went. Verse 9 tells us, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, and dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. The lineage of Abraham to his son Isaac and Jacob and all those, they were just wanderers. They were just pilgrims in a strange land. But they believed in God. They believed in that promise that God gave to Abraham that through his lineage all the nations of the earth would be blessed, that they would inherit this land, the land flowing with milk and honey. They believed that, and they acted upon that faith because they believed in God. They knew that God could do what He said He would do. Verse 10 tells us, For He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked beyond the here and the now. The times upon this earth, it may be times of trial, it may be times of struggle, it may be times of wandering. But life does not end here and now. Our physical life may. But we as Christians, like these grand patriarchs of old, we look to a finer, a better city that God has built. A city whose has foundations, whose builder and maker is of God. We believe those promises that God has given unto us. That's what motivates us. That's what keeps us carrying on. We read of the faith of Sarah, how she and Abraham were past years for reproducing, but God had promised that through his seed the nations of the earth would be blessed. They believed on God, and she ultimately had her son. And therefore sprang up from the union of these two, the nation of Israel. The scripture tells us they were like the stars of the sky or the sands of the sea, they were so many. Verse 13 tells us that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. They only had their belief, their faith in Jehovah God to carry them through. But they looked forward to the promises that God had given unto them. This motivated them. This caused them to carry on. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. If they had been homesick, if they had been wanting to return home, they could have. There wasn't anyone forcing them. There wasn't anyone having a gun to them head. They didn't. God did not make them do these things. But He told them it had to be done. And they did it. They could have went back home. They could have went back to their comfortable surroundings. But they chose instead to obey God and to follow His word. The scripture tells us, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. They look for a better country than the one they just left. They were comfortable. They knew the country in which they lived in, their surroundings and their friends. But there's something better. There's something better than this. And to us as well. We have our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have our loved ones. But this is not our home. We, like these patriarchs of old, we look forward to a better country that God has prepared, where He is the builder and He has laid the foundation, a city promised unto the faithful Christian. Now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. I love that phrase. God is not ashamed to be called their God. These people live in obedience unto Him, strict obedience, that they carried out His word. Wherefore Jehovah God, as they called Him their heavenly Father, He was not ashamed of them. He was not ashamed to be called their God. That's a wonderful statement. Makes you wonder how you feel about us today, doesn't it? As we call Him our God. As we profess, well, we're Christians. Is He not ashamed that we call Him Heavenly Father? That we say that we are His children? Or is God proud of us as He looks down upon each and one of our lives? As we who profess to have faith in God and to live by His Word, is He ashamed of us this morning? Or is He proud of us? Have we have stood up for Him? Have we have read God's Word and we put it into our life each and every day that we live? I hope that God is not ashamed to be called our God. For He has prepared for them and for us as well a city, a habitation beyond this earth. Verse 17 tells us, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. Abraham went through that spring sacrifice. Oh, he wanted his son so bad. He knew that God had promised him that through his lineage the nations of the earth would be blessed. Oh, and he loved Isaac so much. But God told him to take him and offer him up as a sacrifice. That would be hard to do as a parent. When everything you had was riding on your son. Everything you hoped for and dreamed for and cherished was surrounded and put into your own child. But God said to offer him up. Abraham believed in God. Verse 19 tells us, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. That was the extent of God's belief. Abraham said, okay, if God says to offer up my son as a sacrifice, this I will do. I believe in God. Such is my belief. And the extent of it, that if need be, if I kill my son, God can raise him from the dead. Abraham believed in the power of God, and it caused him to act. And he lived righteously before God. We read of the faith of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, as the Scripture mentions here. When he was come of years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses made the sacrifice, raised in Pharaoh's household. He had anything and everything his heart's desire. But he chose to follow after God, turned his back upon the things of this world, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt. Could have had all those treasures. Could have been heir to them to some respect. That didn't mean anything. Following after God was what mattered. Why? Because he believed in God and he believed God's word. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He left Egypt, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He believed in God as God spoke unto him, as God told him what to do, and he obeyed God. Just as we must obey God today, as he speaks to us, not individually, but through his word. And we only know what God has to say if we read God's word and study it and obey it and put it into our lives, as these great patriarchs of old did. We read of the faith that Moses and the children of Israel possessed, that as they passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, as the Egyptian armies were coming behind them, they had the Egyptian army behind them, they had the Red Sea in front of them. Oh, what were they going to do? There was no escape. Yes, there was. They had God on their side. And the sea parted, and they crossed over as on dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Following the wandering of the wilderness, as the children of Israel finally went into the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey, to possess that land, to drive out all the heathen tribes, they came upon the city of Jericho, a strongly defended city, a high-walled city, impregnable. Oh, there was no one who could take that city. The walls were so thick, they even had chariot races upon that wall. Nobody could take that fortress. No. Yes, they could. No earthly man could, but God could. God was on their side. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they compassed about 7 days. After they marched around the city 7 days, and the trumpets blew, and the walls fell down. With God's help, it was possible. We read of the faith of the harlot Rahab as she helped the spies. Verse 32 says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and other prophets." Great old names, Gideon, Barak, Jephthah, Samson. Judges that ruled Israel in the past that God was with. And He led them to tremendous victories over enormous odds because they believed in God and they believed in His power and they obeyed God. Of David, the one who was a man after God's own heart, who followed after Him and did His will, the great prophet Samuel, and of the other prophets that's mentioned in the Old Testament. Time does not allow the writer to mention all of these, but as we read the Old Testament, and we need to study these grand examples of faith, to see how they persevered. Verse 32 tells, 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, as they were these warriors that God were with. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions, as we know that Daniel did and the lions did. A fine example of faith. Now that Daniel, for his beliefs, was thrown into the den, but he was ultimately safe simply because he believed in God and he would not waver and he would not compromise. Quenched the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weaknesses were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. God was on their side, and so they could persevere. These great old patriarchs, these that we read about in the Old Testament, who by their faith and their devotion and their allegiance and their obedience unto God, they earned them a place to be mentioned in this row of honor of faith. Women received their dead raised to life again. It could happen, but the other side is true as well. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might attain a better resurrection. That takes a lot of faith. When you're faced with death, as a lot of the prophets of old were, as a lot of the first and second century Christians were, when death is imminent, and you're given the chance, if you renounce your Christianity and turn your back on God, your life would be spared. But if you do not, you will die, and you will die immediately. How would we handle that? I've often wondered about that. We don't know. We can't answer that question. We don't know how we would face it. But many would renounce Christ. Many would not be willing to give their life, as these did. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. They were given a chance, but they did not accept that. They wanted to obtain a better resurrection. Not just this temporary saving of the life, but a better resurrection through their obedience unto God. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. What all they had to endure. We rarely, if ever, face persecution. We should as Christians. The Bible says we will. What would we have to do if we had to go through this? How strong would our faith be? Had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds or imprisonment. If religion was outlawed this week, and it was illegal for us to meet next Sunday, how many of us would be here? If they found us here, the soldiers would come in, and they'd start rounding each of us up. And we'd be put into prison. would we be here next Sunday? How strong of a hold do we have on this earth? To the possessions, to things. Is our hold on God stronger than the things of this earth? How strong is our faith? They were stoned. They were dragged outside the gates of the city. The people who hated them and despised them, they would take up stones and just one stone thrown after another till that person just slowly died of those stones being thrown at him. They were sawn asunder, literally cut in half. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, having none of this world's fine clothes. They were destitute. They had nothing. Afflicted. They were tormented. But they believed in God. They believed in His Word. And they reckoned that the sufferings of this world were of no comparison to what God had promised unto them. So they endured. Verse 38 tells us, of whom the world was not worthy. Of these all, having obtained a good report, a good report was written. They were commended by God. Through faith received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They lived and died through a time when the promise was not given unto them, as it is unto us today. The promise of life eternal, of salvation, if we but obey God's word. How strong is our faith? We need to find out. We need to look within our hearts, within ourselves, each one of us. We may never be tried and tested as the first and second century Christians were, as the prophets of old were, but we're going to be tempted, each and every one of us, each and every day, because Satan wants us so bad. He wants us out of God's camp, and he wants us on his side. But we're going to stand firm. We're going to believe in God. We're going to believe in His Word. And we're going to live like we believe it each and every day. Only then can we be pleasing in God's sight if we obey His Word. God's Word states that in order to be obedient unto Him, we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ came to this earth and died on the cross, that through His death upon that cross, man might have salvation, that man might have redemption and forgiveness of his sins. That if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, to come forward and to confess your belief. Yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, I'm ready to turn my life around, to turn my back upon this world and accept God as my Savior.